From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Bloch.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Joyce Carol Oates has a new novel. That's hardly a surprise. Oates churns out novels, short stories, and plays at such a rapid rate that it's difficult to imagine a moment in her life when she's not writing. NPR's Lynn Neary spent some time with Joyce Carol Oates to try to learn how she does it.
Joyce Carol Oates is not someone who wastes much time. When she's not writing, she's teaching writing at Princeton University. In her spare time, she reads and runs and occasionally goes on the road. Last month, she accepted her latest award, the Fairfax Prize for Literature, at George Mason University in Virginia.
Oh, I'm so thrilled and honored, just very, very deeply touched. It's really wonderful. Get a little teary-eyed.
An audience of students, teachers, and fans gathered to hear Oates read from her new novel, The Falls, which is set in the city of Niagara Falls, not far from the farm in upstate New York where Oates grew up.
I was very excited this evening to meet several other people from upstate New York. We're all very happy, I think, because we're not there. We're all somewhere else, and we're only people who talk with this odd accent, you know.
Oates reads from the end of her novel, when a mystery is solved through the strange relationship that develops between a young girl and her secret stalker.
Why hasn't Juliet told anyone, not her mother, not her brothers, about the shaved-headed boy? She might have told a teacher at school. She might have told a girlfriend. Why? Juliet doesn't want to think. From childhood, she seems to have known that to speak of the shaved-headed boy to another person would be futile.
The Falls, like so many of Oates' novels, is about a family. The story is triggered by a suicide on a honeymoon at Niagara Falls. Throughout the novel, the natural wonder that is Niagara Falls seems to exert a kind of deathly pull. The Falls, says Oates, have always tugged at people's imaginations.
The Falls is just such a fantastic place that you think that it must mean more than just something material. You think it must have a spiritual, a supernatural significance. You can't just think it's the Falls.
The magnificence of the Falls is juxtaposed against the industrial city of Niagara Falls, a city that became infamous for one of the worst environmental disasters in this country, Love Canal. Eventually, one man's obsession with the Love Canal case ends in murder. Violent acts like suicide and murder and their effect on her characters often play a role in Oates' novels. In her recent bestseller, We Were the Mulvaneys, a rape propels the story. With her big, wide eyes, tiny frame, and soft voice, Oates seems too gentle for such brutal imaginings. Even she says she can't exactly explain why she writes about such things.
I'm very drawn to distinctive personalities, and I love drama. I love the conflict of drama. I've always loved formal tragedy, though I don't write formal tragedy, but I'm drawn to these extremes in which human personality is sort of put to the test.
Whatever it is that motivates Oates to write about cruelty and violence, her subject matter clearly resonates with her fans. English teacher Melanie McCabe brought two of her students to hear Oates in Virginia.
I'm intrigued by the way she sort of zeroes in on the darker side of life and the human mind. And I've always found her stories mesmerizing. I like them a lot.
Oates is famous not only for what she writes, but for how much she writes. Two other women attending the same event, Barbara Seaman and Diane Daly, said they couldn't possibly read all of her work.
She just writes so much, you can't keep up with her. I can't decide which ones I'm going to read per year.
If you were doing a dissertation on Joyce Carol Oates, she couldn't possibly take you forever to read all of her books.
That's right. You can't do all her books.
You can't read all of her books.
You have to take only some of them. I don't know, how many has she written?
That's a hard number to pin down. But if you take all of her plays, collections of short stories, novellas, and novels into account, it's more than 90. Oates says she's often criticized for writing too much, which she doesn't really understand. She says growing up on a farm, she was raised with a strong work ethic.
I come from a world where people are never idle. And if my mother had, you know, 5 minutes between one chore and another, then she would be sewing or she'd be knitting. You know, you wouldn't just sort of sit and look at television. It was a world maybe that's passed away now, that people are much more able to deal with free time now. But I don't really like free time. I always use the time in some way.
Oates says her writing process is really quite slow and goes through many painstaking revisions. She says she writes everything in longhand first, and to prove her point, she pulls out her latest work in progress. Her words seem to be strewn at random on used pieces of paper that someone might easily mistake for trash instead of the first draft of a novel by a famous author.
I mean, it's so eccentric, it just sounds like a person's crazy, you know. I fold the pages over lengthwise. They're all pieces of scrap paper, and I just write. I write this way.
And you write on the back of pages of things that have print on them already?
Yeah, sometimes they're galleys of... I mean, here things are upside down, you know. It's, what can I say?
That's incredible.
Oates says there is rarely a time when she's not writing or thinking about what she's just written or is about to write. Writing to her is like breathing, or more precisely, like dreaming.
Dreaming is something that we do somewhat involuntarily, and yet it has the signature of our own personalities. And writing is much more conscious and much more volitional, of course, than dreaming. But at the same time, there's an element in writing that comes from the unconscious.
Are you always sort of living to some degree in your imagination? I mean, are you always kind of have one foot in the real world, one foot in your own imaginative writer's world?
The imagination of a writer is quite verbal, because while I may see things in a cinematic way when I'm imagining them, I have to tell them in terms of language and structure. So when I'm walking or running or thinking about my work, I'm actually thinking about ways in which I can phrase or paraphrase the actions. I'm focused on the language.
It may be comforting to would-be writers to hear this. Even the great Joyce Carol Oates has those moments when the words simply refuse to flow onto the page. She says the novel she's working on now is especially troublesome.
And the one chapter I'm working on now, I've been working on so long. I've just had so much trouble. I just keep revising it, and I go back, and then I add something new, and I've just been stumbling and groping. I feel like somebody literally crawling across the floor, pushing a bean with my nose.
But Oates doesn't look too far ahead. As prolific as she isn't plotting her next book while in the process of writing this one. Oates says she has many more stories to tell, but she can only write them one at a time. Lynn Neary, NPR News, Washington.
You can read an excerpt from The Falls on our website, npr.org.